to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. Thank you again to Tom Grassi for joining us last week. If you haven't listened to that one, feel free to go back. We don't really talk about anything timely, more just his thoughts on the 2024 season, being NFL Fan of the Year, the International Stadium Tour. So it's still applicable. Feel free to go back and listen to that at any point. But this week, Perry, we got a fun one. We talked about the NFC North, kind of scouted that out a couple weeks ago. And since we are literally 1 week away from Packers training camp kicking off, we thought that we would wrap up our off-season coverage with a scouting report across the entire NFC. So looking at every team, excluding the NFC North, since we already did that one, and seeing where the Packers stack up within their conference. But before we get started, how you doing?
I'm good. This is my last episode in this apartment, which is crazy because I've been in this room. We didn't start this podcast with me living here, surprisingly. So we're going to go on apartment number 3 for me in Packs What She Said land. But I feel like I've done the majority of our recording in this room with this background, just all of our growth in this home, because I've been here for so many years, 4 to be exact. So it's definitely weird and bittersweet. So yeah, YouTube watchers, you're going to have an unknown new background coming from me as I migrate myself over to Brooklyn. So yeah, last episode for Perry in Manhattan, which is very strange, very, very strange, but I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I personally can't wait to see what your background looks like, because I've seen your background for so many years that it's going to be interesting. But thought today, of course, like we said, we'd kick things off, just look around the NFC, see what everything looks like, how the landscape changed, because as I was going through this, there's a lot of coaching changes. Obviously, the players kind of shift every single season, but a lot of turnover from coaching staffs as well. So why don't we go ahead, get started in the NFC East. We've got the Cowboys, of course, won the East last season, went 12-5. The Eagles grabbed a wild card spot, finished 11-6. The Giants ended 6-11. And the Commanders finished 4-13. So starting with the Cowboys, coaching staff stays kind of the same-ish. Mike McCarthy's still the head coach. But notably, they did lose Dan Quinn, who we'll talk about in a little bit, landed a head coaching gig. And now Mike Zimmer becomes the defensive coordinator, a familiar name for Packers fans, obviously, given his long tenure with the Vikings. Any thoughts on the significance of losing Dan Quinn, the significance of Zimmer coming over?
Yeah, I mean, it's a familiar face, like you said. That was my first thought. Obviously losing Dan Quinn is big. The Cowboys defense is going to change a lot under Zimmer. He's a bit of an older school kind of guy, right? So it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the table. I think we all knew that Dan Quinn as a defensive coordinator was temporary, so it shouldn't be too big of a surprise, right? He was a head coach, took a defensive coordinator job, and now he's back being a head coach. It's not too much of a surprise. But, you know, Big Mike calls the shots there. So it's going to be Big Mike's show regardless. I just think it's an interesting choice bringing Zimmer in. Just because, like, I think the league is going towards more of that, like, younger, newer, like, progressive mindset. And Zimmer's the opposite of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can definitely tell with the trend, and we'll see it. There's a lot of young, like, first-time coordinators on the list. So it's exciting, but definitely interesting to see Zimmer with Mike McCarthy in that capacity. Cowboys got made fun of, obviously, for having a really quiet offseason. Really, the only true addition to their roster was linebacker Eric Kendricks, who replaced the loss of Leighton Vander Esch, who retired during the offseason. Some other notable losses for them: Tony Pollard, the running back, headed to Tennessee. They lost defensive ends Dorrance Armstrong, Dante Fowler Jr., and defensive tackle Jonathan Jenkins. And then two starters on their offensive line, Tyron Smith and Tyler Biadasz. So honestly, if you look at their roster holistically, some pretty significant chunked pieces that they were missing. And yes, they drafted Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma, grabbed defensive end Marshawn Neyland with those first couple picks, but How do you feel about the roster in general? You know, Dak, of course, still there. CeeDee Lamb still there. So some big names, talent, but lost a lot of firepower.
Think if you're not making changes in the NFL, if you stay the same, you're getting worse. That's just kind of like the way this league goes. Naturally, not. I think the end of their season at the hands of our Packers leaves a pretty bad taste in your mouth. So I can see how, you know, you don't want to be rash, right? And they were a juggernaut offense for pretty much the entirety of the 2023 season. I mean, you don't end 12-5 otherwise, right? They're a very good football team. So they're going to still be a very good football team going into 2024. But they did lose, like you mentioned, some pretty like key pieces and a big coordinator. Everything around their team like is contingent upon their quarterback. Like Dak is their centerpiece, right? So as Dak goes, your team goes. If Dak is playing clean football, they tend to win football games. And if Dak is throwing picks, they tend to lose football games. So it's just really about, like, I think the way Dak plays this season. Because like you said, their team's pretty much the same. I don't know. Yeah, and Eric Kendricks doesn't necessarily like move the needle. He's kind of on the other, like, end of his career, as much as I know you and I respect the hell out of him after, again, a very, very familiar face for a common opponent in terms of, you know, he's blown up a lot for us. But none of their changes like scream we're making a deep playoff push this season.
Yeah. And I mean, I forgot to even include Ezekiel Elliott because that happened much later in free agency. You know, it wasn't one of the initial moves, but yeah, same thing, you know, towards the later end of his career, tons and tons of tread on the tires. So not sure how much he moves the needle for their offense as far as that's concerned. But if he looks like the Ezekiel Elliott of old, then probably does quite a bit. So let's shift then to the Eagles, who have their own running back situation. Coaching staff first is similar. Nick Sirianni is, of course, still the head coach. Lost offensive coordinator Brian Johnson and defensive coordinator Sean Desai. Has a new offensive coordinator in Keelan Moore, who was with Dallas and most recently was the Chargers offensive coordinator in 2023. And then they got a new DC in Vic Fangio. So another old school kind of coordinator across the NFC East. Quick thoughts on that before we look at the roster.
Yeah, again, I mean, Kellen must think that this is like the way he gets a head coaching job to go to of like a very good Eagles team. Cause the bouncing around to OC, I mean, nobody aspires to just be an OC, mm-hmm. right? I mean, some people end their careers are simply defensive coordinators, but like, I don't know if anyone really aspires to just simply be an offensive coordinator. So he must think that this is like the right career move for him. And again, like the Vic Fangio thing to me, I feel the same as the Mike Zimmer move, the Vic Fangio style of defense. It's going out of style. You look at all of the Vic Fangio trees in 2023 and all of them were in the bottom half of the league. Even Vic's himself. So when you have a name and you have a reputation, I think you're going to continue to get jobs. It's just like, he has it for a reason. It's a respect of what he's been able to do over the course of his career, but I think offenses have figured it out. And there's a big reason why the Packers have moved on from that style of defense, right? That they're looking for something new. So it'll be interesting for sure. I mean, I think he has pieces. I mean, they both do. This is again an 11-6 team and likely looking to make a playoff push just like the Cowboys are. But just an interesting choice given that Vic didn't have a very good track record last season.
Yeah, so some significant losses for them. Obviously, Jason Kelce retired center. And when you lose an all-pro like that, regardless of who you replace them with, there is a drop-off. Outside linebacker Hassan Riddick, running back DeAndre Swift, defensive tackle Fletcher Cox, safety Kevin Byard, and backup quarterback Marcus Mariota. Some of those significant losses for them. As far as additions, running back Saquon Barkley comes over from the Giants, possibly their biggest signing. Outside linebacker Bryce Huff, linebacker Devin White, safety CJ Gardner-Johnson returns, wide receiver Devontae Parker, and then new backup quarterback K. Kenny Pickett. Also a couple draft picks. Their top of the order was Quinion Mitchell, the corner. And then Cooper DeJean. We don't know where he's playing yet. The versatile DB. So what did you think about their offseason?
I think the Eagles are going to be really good this year. They kind of had a shocking decline last season for, everyone always talks about this very superstitious, like post-Super Bowl slump, right? And that's exactly what they had. I don't know if that's what's going to happen here. They've obviously made moves. They've added some really nice pieces. I think Saquon's going to be absolutely explosive in this offense. I mean, you've watched him have to be the guy for the Giants and carry the load again, and also behind like a very bad offensive line. Now he's going to a team that is one of the best, if not the best, you can make the argument, running games in the league behind a very good offensive line. Yes, you can make the argument it got a little bit worse losing Jason Kelce, but like, you know, still very good. And he's not going to have to be the guy, right? They have all a plethora of weapons. He can be fresh. So I think they're going to be super fun. I think they're going to be vying for that top spot. They're going to be coming for the Cowboys for sure. And I really just think it's about like Jalen Hurts staying healthy and like spreading the ball around and dealing with all the personalities that are on this offense, making sure everybody stays happy. But I think the Eagles are not going to have the same kind of downfall towards the end of their season that they did in 2023. I think it's going to be a fluke. That was a fluke.
Yeah, I agree with you. You still have Jalen Hurts. You still have AJ Brown. You still have Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
You know, Dallas Goedert. It's a really talented offense, really good offensive line. The defense has pieces that kind of revamped their secondary. Their front is really nice. So, yeah, a lot to like about that roster. And the Packers will see them week 1 in Brazil. So that'll be a really good
really, matchup. Really fun game. Like, really fun game. And potentially, in my mind, it could be one that we see again in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Next in the East, we have the Giants finished 6-11. The coaching staff, Brian Daboll, head coach, still there. He lost Wink Martindale as his defensive coordinator. Shane Bowen is his new DC. He coached outside linebackers with the Titans before becoming their DC from 21 to 23, and then comes over to the Giants to coach with Daboll. So thoughts? I mean, Wink is out. You know, I know that was kind of controversial when it happened, you know. Seemed like his relationship had soured with Daboll, but kind of just.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know anything about Shane Bowen. I can't say that I've followed the outside linebackers coaches for the Titans. So I think it's, look, they're trying something new. This is a very like Packers taking Halfley from college type move. It's just like, let's try somebody young. Let's try someone new. And see what they can bring and kind of revamp that side of the ball. Cause they need to like inject some life there.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty significant losses for them. Obviously Xavier McKinney, the safety we know very familiar, comes to the Packers. Running back Saquon Barkley, we just talked about him, heads to the Eagles. Backup quarterback Tyrod Taylor is gone. And then they also lost defensive tackle A'shaun Robinson, which I think is pretty significant for that front. Additions, though, they made some nice moves. They brought in Brian Burns from the Panthers. Really, really nice pickup for them. Should immediately improve their pass rush. Drew Locke is the new backup quarterback over there. Running back Devin Singletary joins the roster. Wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie. And then DB Jalen Mills. First couple draft picks I also really liked for them. They grabbed Malik Nabers, 4th overall at wide receiver. Safety Tyler Newbin was their 2nd pick. And then cornerback Andrew Phillips. So kind of overhauling their secondary there as well. Yeah. Thoughts on them? 6-11. Any dramatic improvements or changes?
The Giants, I mean, obviously I live in New York. I talk about the Giants more than, you know, one could expect from a Packers fan. I'm just like inundated by everybody's thoughts here. And it's just, this is going to be the year where everybody decides, like, is DJ the guy or not? Right. Is DJ just going to be the guy? I know they just paid him. Right. And I get that saying that is like, well, Perry, they just paid him. Of course they, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they're convinced, quite frankly, either. And they shouldn't be. So DJ is either the guy or he's not. And I think we're just going to figure that out this season. Unfortunately, like you just listed all of it, there's been so much movement. And I don't know how conducive that is to figuring that out. But without Saquon as like a crutch, now he's really going to have to like make things happen, right? With the receivers, yep, with whatever running game that they have. I do love the Malik Nabers. I think giving him kind of a young, exciting wide receiver, hopefully someone who's like more explosive out there. But I don't think this, I mean, I think the Giants are still going to be a 500 team.
Yeah. Sixth overall pick. I think I said fourth overall, but he's the biggest name in the wide receiver room already. And he's a rookie, which is concerning. Right. I think, you know, you've got Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson, and Jalen Hyatt. We liked coming out of the draft last season, but he's still kind of fourth on the depth chart right now. Hasn't broken through. So just not a ton that would like really convince you that the Giants are going to be exceptional. And especially in a crowded NFC East, you know, their offensive line, I think you could argue, got a little better. They picked up John Runyon from the Packers, but just not enough to compete with the Cowboys and the Eagles. Possibly, maybe you could argue the biggest changes took place for the Commanders, finished 4-13. Ron Rivera out as the head coach, with him, mm-hmm, of course, Jack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator, and offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, both gone. All three of those guys are gone. Dan Quinn becomes the new head coach from the Cowboys, brings in Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator, and then Joe Witt as DC, who I think a lot of Packer fans remember, know, and respect Joe Witt from his time in Green Bay with the corners. So really interesting coaching staff over there in Washington.
Okay, here's my thing, is that I love everything that the Commanders did this offseason, except for their coaching changes. Like, I think they got the best QB in the draft. I think what they're doing on their roster, which we're about to get into, fantastic. Like, fantastic. I think they're probably gunning for the third spot. Like, they're gonna make more waves than I think people are expecting. I am just so unconvinced by this Cliff. Like, why Cliff? Why Cliff? And I get, maybe like you come in Dan Quinn. I'm into the Dan Quinn thing, right? We love Dan Quinn. We love his energy. We love the way he can like bring a locker room together. This second chance as a head coach situation. Like, love it. I love that for him. Cliff as an OC with like your new young starter at quarterback. I hate it. I hate it. Like, I wish that I don't know if we can quickly look up who their quarterback's coach is, but like, I hope that they have someone in there who can really make sure that Jaden Daniels like molds into the guy that they want him to be, right? That is like the key for this franchise. They just made this move. They made this huge decision. They have to make sure he develops appropriately, and Cliff does not have the track record. So, I mean, if anything, I would have kept Eric Bieniemy, but I understand why you want to come in kind of clean sweep.
Their quarterback's coach is probably not going to convince you much. His name is Tavita Pritchard. It's his first NFL season after he served in a variety of coaching roles with Stanford. So he's done a lot of work with collegiate players.
I mean, he could be amazing. Mm-hmm. He could be amazing. This could be his calling. It also could be. Yeah, again, I understand the thought process behind coming in and wanting to like hire your own people and like not keep anyone from the old regime. But why Cliff? Why Cliff?
All right, let's talk about losses. Obviously, wide receiver Curtis Samuel, corner Kendall Fullard, safety Cameron Curl. Two quarterbacks they lost, Jacoby Brissett and Sam Howell. Running back Antonio Gibson, and then linebacker Cody Barton. Additions for this roster: center Tyler Biadasz, defensive end Dorrance Armstrong, two linebackers Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu. Really nice tandem there. Running back Austin Eckler, backup quarterback Marcus Mariota, tight end Zach Ertz, guard Nick Allegretti, defensive end Clelin Ferrell, and safety Jeremy Chinn. Draft picks, you mentioned it already. Jaden Daniels took him with their first pick, and then grabbed Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle, with their second round pick. And that was, you know, their first big picks in the draft. But yeah, thoughts on the roster, because I was pretty sold on the moves that they made in the offseason.
Yeah, listen to that list. Like, you got him first. Like, none of their losses are really, like, they don't really move the needle all that much, right? Like, okay, you've got a really nice vet backup. I think Marcus Mariota, in terms of like leadership and football IQ for a guy like Jaden Daniels, perfect. A guy you'd want in a room with him. You get, like you said it, great linebacker tandem. Frankie Louvu was like the guy every team wanted if you need a linebacker. And then you get vet Bobby Wagner. Amazing. Safety Jeremy Chinn, again, another guy I think anyone who needed a safety this season would have wanted, unless you got Xavier McKinney. Sorry, I had to. Austin Ekeler, like explosive pass catching back, can do it all. Zach Ertz, vet tight end, just like can be a security blanket for your, like it just good moves, like good additions, good moves. Like this team is going to still have a few years to go before anyone's going to say anything else about like playoffs, et cetera. Right. But building blocks for what you hope to be as your franchise QB. And you see those here this offseason.
Yep, for sure. Let's shift then to the NFC South, where there's more coaching changes because there were coaching changes all over the NFC this offseason.
Buccaneers. Wait, before we move on to the NFC South, like let's wrap up NFC East because we didn't really say anything like holistically. Okay. Like, does it end the same? Do we think it gets shaken up? Like, who is the contender there?
I think it's still the Cowboys and the Eagles. I think that the Eagles probably have a better shot at actually winning the division. I think the Cowboys are more looking at a wild card berth. It wouldn't necessarily surprise me if the Cowboys found themselves in the same kind of situation that the Seahawks were in last year, where they finish like 9-8 and just miss out on the playoffs. You know, like if there's a bunch of teams that finish in that same ballpark. But yeah, to me, it's the Eagles division to lose, and we'll see what happens with the rest. But the Cowboys still have a good shot. What about you?
Yeah, no, that's how I feel too. I don't think that there's anyone in that division that I'm necessarily like too concerned about from like a Super Bowl perspective, but wild card for sure. And I think Eagles, Cowboys are going to be the ones fighting for it at the top, unless something like crazy happens. And, you know, Jaden Daniels comes in and like lights the league on fire. I don't know. But the Eagles have the best shot to come back looking like themselves, like their Super Bowl selves, and contend, but we'll see what happens week one.
Yeah, that's fun that the Packers get to start with, you know, such a tough opponent on the road in Brazil. Going to be a really, really good Friday night game, which we never get to say, but all right. Kicking off the NFC South, we have the Buccaneers won the division 9-8 last season. Coaching staff, Todd Bowles stays on as the head coach. They lost offensive coordinator Dave Canales to the Panthers, which we will talk about. Liam Cohen is the new OC. He spent time with the Rams, also was the offensive coordinator at Kentucky. And then Larry Foote and Casey Rogers stay on as co-defensive coordinators. Yeah, probably the biggest significant loss, of course, is Dave Canales had a really nice season with Baker Mayfield and that offense, and such a good offseason that he ends up with the Panthers as their new head coach. So
exactly.
As far as additions, they brought in safety Jordan Whitehead. I guess I don't know if you want to say brought in, but safety Jordan Whitehead is there. Sua Opita, the guard, is there. Not a ton of like big names, couple losses for them. Shaq Barrett, Devin White, Carlton Davis, draft picks for them. They took Graham Barton first in the first round, and then Chris Braswell, the edge, and safety Tykee Smith coming in. So any like significant thoughts here on the Bucs roster? I think the biggest thing was that they, you know, committed to Baker Mayfield long-term and gave him some decent money. Mike Evans, of course, is still there. Chris Godwin's still there. Like, I'm not sure any of their roster moves, additions, or losses move the needle a ton for them.
No, and, like, look, good for Baker, right? He's had a really tough start to his career, and so I think he finally found his groove and found his home and certainly, like, looked his most comfortable. And they shook things up last season with Baker. I mean, they, like, took it to some teams. I just think with their losses on the defensive side of the ball, it's going to be hard to view them as the same team because they lost some like pretty big names, just like a few playmakers, right, on that side of the ball. So, but you can't overlook like who they have on offense, right? I mean, one of the best wide receivers, like, I mean, are we talking about like Mike Evans gold jacket at this point with the level of play that he's at, and Chris Godwin, etc. So if Baker can be the Baker from last season, like, they might be one of those like sneaky wild card guys again, but I don't know much more than that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, there's pieces to like on their defense. It feels like Vita Vea has been in the league for like 500 years now. Kalijah Kancey had a nice season. Yeah, yeah, Diabee is like, you know, one of those like underrated rushers. But yeah, Antoine Winfield Jr. is still there. So a lot of pieces to really like when it comes to their defense. And their defensive coordinators are unchanged. So Saints also finished 9-8. This is the Packers' opponent from the NFC South. Their coaching staff is Dennis Allen, who enters his third year as head coach. Pete Carmichael is out as offensive coordinator. Now it's Clint Kubiak, who comes over from the 49ers, was their passing game coordinator. And then Joe Woods is the DC there. So really, the offensive coordinator is the only change in that big three.
Yeah. I mean, take from the best in the league. It's always a smart decision, right?
Good strategy. Losses for them: quarterback Jameis Winston, defensive tackle Malcolm Roach, corner Isaac Yiadom, and linebacker Zach Bond. Additions: they brought in Chase Young to rush, which is really interesting. Willie Gay Jr., the linebacker, and then wide receiver Cedric Wilson. Draft picks: they brought in versatile tackle Talisia Hufuaga. I butchered that the first time. Corner Kool-Aid McKinstry, and then Spencer Rattler they brought in to potentially be a developmental quarterback for them. So again, not sure how many of their moves like really moved the needle at this point. Kind of a quiet offseason.
It's just, the Saints are just like the definition of like mediocrity. It's just like, it's such an interesting comparison, not to get too like theoretical here on the show because it's a scouting show and we don't have too much time, but just like what they did post Drew Brees versus what the Packers have done like post Aaron Rodgers, just like absolutely zero plan for the future. And now they just, and then it's like no hate right to Derek Carr or like what they tried to do, or like they have drafted some quarterbacks, but just like this whole like, and I again like kind of expect them to again be at this like 500 place simply because they don't not have pieces and they don't not have good like competent coaching, but you're not afraid to go in against the Saints, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree.
How do you feel? Yeah,
I mean, like, they still have Alvin Kamara, you know, they still have Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed. Like, there's nice pieces in Cam Jordan is still a monster. Like, there's players to like. It's just, again, I don't know if I see them like winning the division, especially with, you know, the team we're going to talk about next. Like, there's teams that went all in, and I don't think the Saints did enough maybe to compete with that. So let's look at the Falcons. They went 7-10 in 2023. Arthur Smith was fired, offensive coordinator Dave Ragon, defensive coordinator Ryan Nielsen. So they have a brand new head coach in Raheem Morris. Offensive coordinator is Zach Robinson, who worked with Morris in LA with the Rams in a number of roles. And then defensive coordinator is Jimmy Lake, who coached at Washington as the head coach and then joined Rams as the assistant head coach in 2023. So familiar with Raheem Morris.
Yeah. I mean, take a shot, right? First of all, it was so beyond time for Arthur Smith to go. Like, I don't think that was a surprise. By all accounts, every player who has ever played with Raheem Morris absolutely adores him. Like, they would run through a brick wall for him. And I think when you are totally revamping a team, which we're about to get into all the player changes too, like, that's exactly what the Falcons are about to do. They're about to, let's just like you said, go all in, like, full overhaul, which is interesting to a place to be in at sitting at 7-10, because like, they have already a lot of pieces here. Like, they had plenty to work with. I think it's going to be a really awesome culture change.
Yeah. So let's talk about the changes. Losses: obviously, their starting quarterback Desmond Ridder departs. Running back Cordell Patterson is gone. Tight end Jonnu Smith and corner Jeff Okudah, probably the most notable names there. Additions: Kirk Cousins, the big one, coming over from Minnesota. They added wide receivers Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore, who are some kind of gadgety pieces that'll be really fun as complements to that offense. And tight end Charlie Warner. draft picks. They shocked the world and took Michael Penix Jr. with their first pick. And then they brought in one of my favorite defensive players in the draft, Rook Ororo, for the defensive line. But yeah, really nice pieces, right? They've got Kirk Cousins, who is a much better quarterback than Desmond Ridder was, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore. We just talked about those guys. Kyle Pitts is there, who almost kind of plays like a wide receiver. They've got some really fun pieces on the back end of their defense. Jesse Bates is still there. Yeah. So yeah, a lot to like for the Falcons.
I just feel like they've got some dudes, and if those dudes can put it all together, they could be pretty good, right? Like you just mentioned it, and we talked about Kirk in our NFC North episode, so I don't want to get too deep into it, but I'll just reiterate, I think high level, like, there's a reason Kirk's been in the league for as long as he has. There's a reason why Kirk keeps getting paid. There's a reason why a team was willing to pay Kirk coming off an ACL tear. It's because Kirk is a serviceable quarterback. He is a guy who will win you games. He will get you to the playoffs. Will Kirk win you a Super Bowl? Like, probably not. Is the trope about Kirk, you know, a little bit falling apart in primetime true? Yeah, we've all watched it. But if they really think that Michael Penix is their future, is Kirk the perfect bridge? And like, we don't need to get into like the money of it all, because none of it makes sense. Like, let's be honest. Absolutely none of it makes sense. Kirk is the perfect quarterback to take them and this roster on the offensive side of the ball, like through at least for the next like 2 to 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. I think they're the favorite to win this division this season. Agreed. For sure. Like, for sure. I mean, between the coaching changes, Kirk, their playmakers on both sides of the ball, I can't see it going any other way. I just like the idea of a team just saying, you know what, scratch it. We think we have something here. Let's just take a shot. Like, that's what they did this offseason. They decided to just take a shot.
Yeah, and before we, like, I don't want to jump the gun and talk about this division holistically yet, because we still have the Panthers to talk about, but yeah. I don't know if either of us would bet that the Panthers are winning the division in 2024. So I think, yeah, the Falcons saw a window where the Bucs finished 9-8, the Saints finished 9-8. Neither of them really did a ton to get, like, much better. And the Falcons were far behind. They looked pretty good to start the season. If Desmond Ridder had panned out to be, like, the guy, I think they would have gotten over the edge there and been a playoff team, or at least won the division. You know, I don't know if they would have made a deep push. So I think Kirk gets them over the hump while their division is relatively open and free for the taking. So wrapping up, of course, the NFC South with the Panthers finished 2-15. They lost Frank Reich as head coach. Chris Tabor became the interim head coach, also gone now. Thomas Brown is the OC and Ejiro Evero was the DC. So Dave Canales comes in from Tampa Bay as their new head coach. He spent 13 seasons with Seattle before becoming Tampa's offensive coordinator in 2023. Spent one solid year with them and now is with the Panthers. Brad Idzik is the offensive coordinator for them. He worked with Canales a ton in Seattle. And then Ejiro Evero stays as defensive coordinator. So I like the move.
Yeah.
I think Dave Canales is going to be really fun for Bryce Young.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's a good move at head coach. I think keeping Evero as DC was also a smart move. And like, I think it's a really heads up move for a head coach. Like we just talked about, you can very easily come in and be like, no, I want all of my guys, everybody else, you're out. But we all watched what the Panthers defense was like last season. I mean, we literally called them the Fighting Everos, right? And it can be really easy to place blame, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I like that Dave Canales came in and was like, you did a very good job with your side of the ball. I want you to continue what you've been doing and have at least something to build off of going into this like new regime. Evero would have gotten a job like in a heartbeat also. So it says a lot.
Yeah, so let's talk about their roster changes, because some really, really big names. We talked about it already. Edge, Brian Burns, headed to the Giants. They also lost Yuder Gross-Matos. Corner CJ Henderson and Dante Jackson are gone. Linebacker Frankie Louvu, we already talked about. Safeties Von Bell and Jeremy Chinn are gone. And then they lost tight end Hayden Hurst and center Bradley Bozeman as well. Additions for them, wide receiver Deontay Johnson. Thought that was a really nice pickup for them to finally give Bryce Young a true wide receiver that has the potential to be a one. Grabbed a couple players for the offensive line, added edges, Javian Clowney and DJ Wonnum, which is, I think, a really nice tandem, even though Clowney's kind of in the twilight of his career. Safety Jordan Fuller came in, and Nick Scott, and linebacker Josie Jewell is really interesting coming over from the Broncos. So what do you think of that one? Oh, and defensive tackle A'shaun Robinson, who we talked about a little bit already. So really big losses, but also some nice additions.
Yeah, I mean, when you end your season like the Panthers did, I feel like you have to understand that there's going to be a bit of a fire sale. And your free agents are likely going to walk, and there's just going to be a lot of turnover here. And but, is you also have your Bryce Young card. Mm-hmm. And you can say, look, we're restarting something new here. Look at who we have. And you can get a Deontay Johnson, right? And you can get a Jordan Fuller as a last, you know, ditch effort, and a Jadeveon Clowney at the twilight of his career, and kind of those kinds of players. So I think the losses and the additions weigh themselves out. It's just a matter of putting it all together, right? They went top of the draft heavy on offensive weapons for him in Xavier Legette and Jonathan Brooks. Good. I mean, you're going to have to surround your guy with some dudes, because he looked so lost and so confused out there last season. That's just like, that's what this whole season is riding on, is how do we get Bryce Young to take the next step.
Yeah, and I really like those selections that they made. Brooks probably not starting the season, but a really, really serviceable running back with a really high upside when he's able to come back. I think Legette and Johnson just completely overhaul that wide receiver room, you know, yeah, and give Bryce some really talented options there. So yeah, it's an uphill battle, especially like we said, the Falcons are mortgaging their window to win now and win the division while it's theirs for the taking. So the Panthers could be good in a couple of years, you know, but it's really contingent on Dave Canales and what he can get out of his quarterback.
Yeah.
So we're in agreement, I think, that the Falcons win the division. Anyone you see is like a wild card, or really we think it's the Falcons' shot to lose?
I mean, I do think it's the Falcons' shot to lose. I just love what they did this offseason. The Bucs for me are still just such a fun wild card option. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just because Baker will like keep you on your toes. Mm-hmm. And their weapons are legit. If their defense can put some big games together.
Yep. So let's shift then. Last division, of course, is the NFC West. And this is the division that the Packers will see.
Fun for last, didn't we?
Packers will see listen. Packers will see them in their entirety, of course, starting with the 49ers, who finished 12-5, you know, made the playoffs. Packers saw them in the divisional round and took it to them. But the 49ers were still the conference representative from the NFC at the Super Bowl. So they're the cream of the crop right now in the NFC. Kyle Shanahan, still the head coach. Steve Wilks out as defensive coordinator. Clint Kubiak, no longer their passing game coordinator. They brought in Brandon Staley as assistant head coach. And Nick Sorensen is the DC. He was most recently with Seattle. Any thoughts? I mean, I think it's kind of funny that Kyle Shanahan never has a true offensive coordinator, but that is neither here nor there. Just,
you know what? At least he's honest with us all. At least he's not faking it. He's like, you know, I do it. Why bother hiring someone? I think the Brandon Staley hire is interesting for sure. Going very like defense heavy in his like assistants. Just interesting. I don't know if I have any more thoughts other than just like an asterisk, like just noted, right? Yeah. But you know, it's this team goes as Kyle goes. It's all, like, think about how many assistants and coordinators have rotated and it's never mattered for this team.
Yeah. I mean, some significant changes on both sides of the ball here. Losses, they lost defensive tackle Eric Armstead, Javon Kinlaw, and Sebastian Joseph. So some depth pieces there. Defensive end Chase Young and Clelin Ferrell are gone. Quarterback Sam Darnold is gone. We see him in Minnesota, of course. And then DB Isaiah Oliver on that list as well. But some really nice additions for them, which is frustrating. They brought in Leonard Floyd and Yudagross Matos. Really, really nice pass rush tandem there. Defensive tackle Malik Collins is great depth. Linebacker Devondre Campbell, really interesting. We'll see what happens with Dre Greenlaw, if he's able to start the season or not. But a nice running mate with a ton of experience for Fred Warner. And then quarterback Joshua Dobbs is their backup now. Draft picks, they took wide receiver Ricky Pearsall with their first round pick and then brought in a really nice corner in Renardo Green. So, yeah, lots of shakeups. And somehow I almost think that they got better. You know, I guess a little asterisk. I do as far as their defensive pieces are concerned. And I guess we'll see what happens with Brandon Ayuk. Like, if he's gone, that makes a difference, but I don't know how much of a difference it'll necessarily make when you look at like all of the weapons that they have.
Here's my thing is that I don't know if it matters. Like, how many catches did Brandon Ayuk have in the championship game? You know, like, it's just like they just plug and play, and it's really so much for this team about scheme. And I don't know. Look, Brandon Ayuk is a fantastic player, but there's a reason they're not paying him, right? And it's because they know that any other wide receiver, respectfully, can plug into this specific offense and be productive. And another team will want to pay Ayuk because they need him more. He will matter more in a different offense. I agree with you. It's way more important their additions on the defensive side of the ball. And I think the loss of Dre Greenlaw is going to be super big. Like, let's be real, Devondre Campbell, like, that's a huge step down if that's who Fred Warner's running mate is for like the majority of the season. But their pass rush is still going to be absolutely monstrous. And they should be the favorite in the NFC going into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking about the other playoff team then from the NFC West, the Rams went 10-7. We saw them, of course, had the Detroit as a wild card team, but their coaching staff, Sean McVay, is still the head coach there. Mike LaFleur stays on as offensive coordinator. Raheem Morris, of course, is no longer the DC because he's with the Falcons. Their new defensive coordinator is Chris Shula, who has been with the Rams since 2017 and had a number of different jobs on that staff. So it makes sense for him to kind of get the promotion and head up as DC.
I love an internal promotion. Mm-hmm. I do. I love that for him. Mike, one day you'll be with Matt.
No, Mike, someday. So losses and additions here, of course. They lost defensive tackle Aaron Donald, retires, probably the most significant loss for just about any team in the NFL when you think about it. Jordan Fuller, the safety's gone. Center Coleman Shelton's gone. Defensive lineman Jonah Williams, and then quarterback Carson Wentz. Their additions are Jonah Jackson for the offensive line. They picked up Tre'Davious White and Darius Williams. I love that for them. Tre'Davious White, I think, could be so good once he's healthy. Safety Cameron Curl, I also really like, you know, for that secondary. And then their backup is Jimmy Garoppolo, which I somehow had forgotten in the offseason, but really funny that he heads to LA to back up Stafford. And then their draft picks, their front three, Jared Verse, they picked up with his running mate, Braden Fisk, both out of Florida. And then Blake Corum, the running back from Michigan, with their third round pick.
I love what the Rams did this offseason. Like, absolutely love. I think the Rams are going to be so good this season. Mm-hmm. Like, low-key watch out for the Rams. You said it already. I mean, obviously losing Aaron Donald, like, what are you going to do, right? It's not like they let him walk. He just decided to retire. It's fine. I still think their defense is going to be great. They added pieces in the draft. They added pieces in free agency. Tre'Davious White is such a good pickup. Like, could chef's kiss. Like, just mwah. I'm so mad about it. It's so good. He is one of the, when he is healthy, he is one of the top five best cornerbacks in the league. I think they got like slept on a little bit in 2023. People really forgot about them for some reason. Stafford healthy, this team healthy, they're going to be a problem.
Yeah. I mean, already you've got Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Kyren Williams came on really strong as a running back. Tyler
and then
Higbee,
they got my favorite
healthy.
Running back in the draft. Well, now
I know.
My second.
When you look at like their secondary, you said it, Tre'Davious White already. Darius Williams had a really, really good season and comes back. Kobe Durant, a really underrated nickel. And then Cameron Curl comes over as their strong safety. So just really nice pieces. And of course, you're hoping that your draft picks contribute right away, because of course the loss of Aaron Donald will be felt along the defensive line. Like, there's no disputing that, but if they've done enough to mitigate some of that, I think this Rams team is going to be so good.
So good.
All right. Seahawks finished 9-8. Pete Carroll deciding to step away from coaching. So he's out. Shane Waldron was the OC for him and Clint Hurt was the defensive coordinator. Mike McDonald takes over as head coach. He was the defensive coordinator for the Ravens. Ryan Grubb becomes his OC. He was Washington's offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. And then Aiden Durd, the defensive coordinator, who was most recently with Dallas as their defensive line coach. So an entirely new coaching staff in Seattle.
I mean, best head coaching hire of the offseason. Let's be real here, right? I mean, he was like
coveted.
the darling, the diamond, if we all watch, if we all know what reference that is. No, probably none of our listeners do. It's fine. No one watches Bridgerton. The diamond of the offseason. All joking aside, it's a good move. We'll get into the team itself. I don't know how much it's going to impact the Seahawks, but I love it for them if that's like the way that they're building. And I think that anytime you are fantastic at your job and then you get rewarded by getting this level of a promotion, like, claps for Mike McDonald.
Yeah, they had some big losses. Bobby Wagner and Jordan Brooks, their inside linebacking tandem, both gone. Damian Lewis, their guard, is gone. Lost a couple tight ends, Colby Parkinson and Will Disley. Quarterback Drew Locke, their backup, is gone. Additions, they brought in Jerome Baker and Tyrell Dodson as their starting inside linebacker tandem, but both of them are on one-year deals, so kind of like rentals to see if they like who they have. Lost their, you know, real stars at the position. Safety Rayshon Jenkins comes over. Defensive tackle Jonathan Hankins. Corner Kayvon Wallace. Quarterback Sam Howell is the new backup for Geno Smith. And then offensive tackle George Fant and their draft picks. First pick, they grabbed Byron Murphy, defensive tackle for Mike McDonald to work with, and guard Christian Haynes. So more utility pieces for them to kind of round out that roster.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I want your thoughts here too, but it's just, are they going to be any better than 9-8 again this season is what I ask myself when I look at the changes and like the roster. Like, I love it. You know, like, I love Byron Murphy. I think Byron Murphy is a great pick, but I think Byron Murphy is a great pick when you already have a very complete roster. And I don't know if the Seahawks already have a complete roster, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I think there's a lot of like, you know, I like Geno Smith. I think that he has become, you know, such a fun quarterback to watch when he plays well. He's got a really nice trio, obviously, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith, Jigba, Noah Fant even is his tight end. You know, like, there's pieces to like on the defensive side of the ball as well. Leonard Williams is there. That's kind of the splashy one. Draymond Jones is really good. Boye Mafe had a really, really good season. So there's levels. You know, Julian Love is a nice safety. Devin Witherspoon, I think, is probably the biggest one here in the secondary for them. But yeah, just a lot of questions. You know, like Jordan Brooks, I know that it was probably one of those, like, a financial decision, not being able to pay him the kind of money that he was going to net in free agency. But replacing him with Jerome Baker and Tyrell Dodson, both on one-year contracts, like, it feels like they're just kind of still in net neutral. And I don't know if given how good the Rams and the 49ers are, if they've done enough to be a wild card team, or if they're just going to kind of get shoved down a little bit because of the stiff competition within the division.
It's just a tough division. Like, it's just a really, really tough division. And you're going up against, unfortunately, like, two of the best teams in the NFC.
like they'd probably win the NFC South or have a very good shot. You know, it's just where they are. Like,
yes, 100%. You know, you were just listing all these players and I'm like, damn, like, okay, that's a good roster. And like, they're still going to be third.
Yeah. It's some divisions, they just ebb and flow like that. And right now the West is really intense. So wrapping up with the Cardinals, who the Packers will also see this season, of course, finished 4-3. Jonathan Gannon is their head. What did I say? 4-3 again? 4-13. Jonathan Gannon, second year as a head coach. He's got Drew Petzing as his offensive coordinator and Nick Rallis as the defensive coordinator. So completely unchanged coaching staff. Really the only one we've talked about that didn't have a single change in 2024. Their additions, they brought in a piece on the offensive line. Jonah Williams should start for them right away. A couple defensive linemen and Justin Jones and Bilal Nichols. Corner Sean Murphy Bunting. Wide receiver Chris Moore and quarterback Desmond Ridder comes over as the new backup for Kyler Murray. Couple losses here as far as wide receivers. Marquise Brown, Rondale Moore, and defensive tackle Leaky Fotu. And then their draft picks. Of course, everybody knows Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver. And then defensive lineman Darius Robinson and corner Max Melton, Bo Melton's brother. And Trey Benson, I think, is worth noting here to grab a running back to add some offensive firepower for them.
This team just like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what to say about the Cardinals, really. I forget about them. They're just the team that I forget about. I don't, you can interpret that how you wish. I just like, I genuinely worry that like Marvin Harrison Jr. is about to become like the next Larry Fitzgerald, where he's just like one of the best wide receivers ever stuck on a team that is going to get him nowhere. That's what this Cardinals team feels like. I don't think Kyler Murray is it. They're going to be fourth in the division again. I don't know what they're building here. Their losses don't mean too much, but they also didn't add all that much. And like, look, don't get me wrong. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. is like, by all accounts, looking the part, and he's going to be the guy. But one great wide receiver doesn't win you a Super Bowl. Like we've literally seen it, right? Like we've witnessed it. I just don't know what the building blocks are on this team.
Yeah, I talked to Andrew Murtig and Kyle Fellows about this on Packaday a couple weeks ago when we looked at the Cardinals roster. And without Marvin Harrison Jr., I'm not sure that most fans could name you a single wide receiver for the Cardinals, like if they didn't play like deep fantasy football, right? Like Michael Wilson and Zay Jones are the other wide receivers. There's Greg Dortch is a back, like he's wide receiver 4 for them. It's just tough. They're in a tough spot. Like there's pieces to like. Obviously, you said Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be explosive and electric. James Conner is a fantastic running back who's going to get run into the ground, which I think is why they picked up Trey Benson. Trey McBride is a really fun tight end, but the offensive line is okay. It's not one of the like better offensive lines, which I think is part of Kyler's problem, unfortunately. And the defense is okay. Like Justin Jones, Bilal Nichols, that doesn't move the knee as far as like a pass rush. Buda Baker, we love. Max Melton, I think, is going to be really fun. He showed a lot of promise in college, but okay. Inside linebackers, like it's just really tricky to think about them being anything other than fourth in the division. And they were 31st in the league in points against last season. And I don't know, everyone else in the NFC, we said like, oh yeah, I think there's some upside there. I think they maybe got a little better. And this is possibly the one team in the NFC that I'm like, I don't know if they got any better. Like, except for Marvin Harrison Jr. Like he's the piece.
Yeah. I mean, he's the guy. And do I think that they're going to be better, have a better record than 4-13? Probably. I mean, it's hard to be worse than that. So yeah, but that's a pretty low bar. It's like a really low bar. And quite frankly, if I'm a Cardinals fan, if I'm putting myself in their shoes, I'm actually hoping we don't, so that we can get a new quarterback next season.
Yeah. I mean, like, it sucks. I feel for Cardinals fans because, but I mean, and in a weird way, maybe this is better. Maybe you want to be in your rebuilding window now so that you can be really good in like 3 years when the 49ers and the Rams and all these teams are in cap hell and trying to, their window has closed. Maybe then your window opens. But yeah, really tough to be a Cardinals fan. I think this season, seeing even, you know, the Seahawks rostered, it's going to be bully ball in the NFC West. The Rams are going to take some from the Niners. The Niners are going to take some from the Rams. It's going to be a slog. And the Cardinals, I think if they beat, like, if they beat any of their division opponents, that's going to be a win for them. Like, it's rough.
I agree with you 100%. It's interesting looking at the three divisions because the NFC has gotten marginally better in the last two seasons, right? Like, we went into last season being like, it's kind of wide open. Like, who's good? And now there's a lot of really good teams in the NFC. I think the development of the young rosters has happened a lot more rapidly than anybody expected. The Rams didn't have the decline that everyone was expecting. You know, the NFC South is the NFC South, but like the Falcons are looking to rebuild much quicker than people expected. And you're kind of looking at a conference that's going to be really fun to watch this season. An NFC West that's just, I mean, it's the NFC West. An NFC North that is now chock full of young talent that we don't know what's going to happen there. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Who knows? But it's going to be fun to watch everybody develop. And an NFC East that has like two pretty long-standing contenders in a rival, you know, long-standing rivalry that's going to be vying for a top spot. So it's a lot to look out for this coming season.
Yeah. So because we've almost hit an hour, let's recap really quickly here. We already talked about the NFC North. We think it's the Lions and the Packers. For the NFC East, we said it was the Cowboys and the Eagles. For the NFC West, we said that it was the Niners and the Rams. And for the NFC South, we think that it's the Falcons. So quick math, that's seven teams, right? Like, we theoretically have listed who we think are the playoff teams. If you had to throw out a team that you think could be your wild card contender, that's like a sneaky under the radar, like they might be better than we think they are, who are you giving it to? And you can include the NFC North if you want in that.
Not out of those seven?
Yeah. Let's say those seven are our for sure playoff teams. So then who would
Seattle now that we've like gone through all the rosters. Yeah. Seattle. And I think because their roster is actually more complete than I expected it to be. And I know I literally just said it wasn't, but it is. And Geno being a vet is easier to bet on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can bet on Geno kind of knowing what to do and taking you there. And they have this like really fun new head coach that I'm really excited to watch, what he does with them. So I think Seattle might be a dark horse.
I think Washington could be in there depending on how things shake out. Like if you get the Cowboys and the Eagles just beating the hell out of each other and Washington can sneak in there as like a wild card spot, I think it's possible. Just because I like the moves that they made quite a bit. And I really hate myself for saying this, but there is a world where the Bears, I think they're probably going to be like 9th or 10th. But if like, we're talking about Jaden Daniels, right? And what he could be as a rookie quarterback. Yeah. So I think it's fair to also include Caleb Williams in that, given that he's got Roma Dunze.
I know.
And Keenan Allen. Like,
I was also thinking the Bears. So, yeah. Yeah, I agree. So
we'll hate ourselves for it, but we'll see.
It's okay. Okay. I know that we're at an hour, but power rank, we're thinking Niners, Lions, Packers. That's where I'm at in terms of.
Yeah. And then Rams would have to be.
Rams, Eagles, four. Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the Packers, Lions, and Rams are really all kind of like right.
Yeah.
Like T2.
Yeah.
And it'll depend on who's the healthiest. You know, like I think you give the Niners the front and then everybody's got a case to be 2 and 3.
Yeah.
But
woo!
Good times. Fun times. Yeah. We'll see. But, you know, they always say to be the best, you got to beat the best. And the Packers have a really tough schedule this season. We listed, you know, just about every team that we think is a playoff contender the Packers are playing, except for Cowboys and the Falcons, and they're still playing the Saints, who were 9-8 last season. So, you know, we'll see. It'll be a tough slog for them, but we expect the Packers to be better than they were in 2023 too. So the way that we scouted the NFC North, we'll see what happens. But that is all the time that we have for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. If you listen to the entire hour, that's incredible. Thank you so much. This is a long one, but next week we'll be back with actual training camp to talk about. We finally made it through the off season. Packers training camp kicks off next week. Thank you for listening to the show at PWSS Podcast on Twitter. Perry's on Twitter at Perry_Goldstein. Me at Maggie J. Loney. You can find us on YouTube if that's where you're watching the video format. Of course, at Packs What She Said, please like and subscribe if you don't already. And if you're listening in the audio format, we appreciate that so much as well for all of the shares, the likes, and the downloads. Stick with us. We are almost to week one, but we got to get through training camp and the preseason first. So we'll be back next week to talk about all of it. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.